Chapter 20, New Year's Eve. It was the last night of the old year. Here and there the bells of an Amsterdam church were already ringing in the still frosty air, but on the whole the great city waited silently, half in sleep, half with careless or solemn expectation, for the coming of the year 1687. Outside the city, in a large and beautifully furnished room, which, except for the richly curtained bed standing in an alcove at the side, might have been taken for a drawing-room, Marie, Henry, and Guillaume de St. Croix were sitting watching for it together, talking as they waited of the year that had gone by. Of the three children, Marie was the most changed since that sunny July day in the plantation at St. Croix. Then she would have been taken for less than her real age. Now she looked at least 15, and many of Madame Vanderholst's friends supposed her to be 16. Perhaps it was partly caused by the fact that her thick black hair no longer tumbled about below her waist, but was skillfully and wonderfully arranged every morning by a tirewoman, who was almost as proud of it as Henry had been. Something also was due to the more womanly dress. On this evening she was attired in rich crimson velvet and delicate lace. But the chief change was in the face itself, in the earnest lines of the rosebud mouth, and the womanly thoughtfulness of her beautiful dark eyes. She was leaning back in a low cushioned chair, not so comfortable as we make them now, and Guillaume was lying on the rug at her feet, in just the same attitude as he had lain on the grass in the old days. Henry was standing by them, in one of the attitudes so curiously like his father's, with his arm on the back of Marie's chair. They were now fairly settled in their new life, and the old one, though fondly remembered, seemed a long time away. Henry and Guillaume attended a military school in Amsterdam, and Marie was taking lessons in all the accomplishments which were considered desirable for a young lady in that day. Louis was still in Montauban, so they supposed. But they had never been able to hear of him, and after many fruitless inquiries, Mynheer Vanderholst decided that they could only wait. The lad was in the best place for him during the next year or two, and after that one could see. They had not made many friends of their own age, though they knew several French refugees among the families which they visited. Harold Van Eck had established a close intimacy with the whole family, and had been in Amsterdam ever since October. He had been spending that evening at their house, and had promised to come and wish them a happy New Year on the morrow. Mynheer Vanderholst and his wife, who had always been childless, retired to their own room at the usual hour, and the three young people had by common consent come to watch together in Marie's room. There had been a long silence between them for some time, broken by Henry, who said with a deep sigh, "Do you remember New Year's Eve last year, Marie? How merry we were! It was the first time we were allowed to sit up, and how everyone came into the great hall at 11:30, and we stopped our games after a while, and sang the soldiers to St. Croix, just before 12 o'clock struck." "We will sing it again tonight," said Guillaume from the rug. "What time is it, Henry?"
"Nearly 11:30, said Henry, glancing at the clock.
"I remember," said Marie thoughtfully, "something that struck me at the time, though I forgot it afterwards. Papa was tossing Louis in the air and laughing with us all, when suddenly Mama looked up at him and said, 'Oh, Louis, where shall we all be this time next year?' And his face grew suddenly grave, and he said, It was the tone that struck me. God knows, Marie, we are in his hands.
Yet it must have been published then, though we did not know it, remarked Henry huskily. How strange to think that it is only a year ago.
Oh, said Marie, putting her hand up almost with a cry, I cannot bear to talk of it. Henry, Mama, Papa, Arella, Louis, home and country, all lost.
We have lost much, but they have gained much, and we have also gained much, said Henry, though even one's gains seem dreadful when one thinks of their price.
Yet Harold, Leonore,
we gained Leonore only to lose her again, said Marie, if we could only hear of her and Louis.
God knows, Marie, we are in his hands, repeated Henry, and there was another long silence.
It is nearly 12, said Henry at length. Let us open the window and listen for the bells.
It was not very cold, and there was a bright starlit sky overhead as they leaned out.
Then, as they waited, their hands joined, and they sang the Soldiers de St. Croix.
Now and then the voices faltered, and they had never sung it since they left France, but the hand clasp never faltered, and the young voices grew strong and full in the chorus at the end.
Then lift your hearts up, comrades, comrades, lift your hearts up to the Lord. Lo, for each one of us his soldiers, there's a crown of glory stored.
Much shall it profit us, comrades, comrades, if for lifelong toil and loss we hear him say, well done, my soldiers, my brave soldiers of the cross.
As they finished, the bell of a church close by began to toll. Standing together with bent heads and clasped hands, they listened to the 12 slow strokes, and the whole city seemed to wake up and shake the air with pealing bells as they kissed and wished each other a happy new year.